Hey there, ProSide Small Group Leaders. Thank you for joining us for another Small Group Leaders podcast where we help you to prepare to lead your small group. This is Pastor Billy here. I'm joined with Pastor Jennifer Matias.
Hi, everybody.
And we are excited to dive into this week's discussion with you. Just a few quick friendly reminders. We have our Leaders Summit coming up at the end of this month. And I want to remind us that after the summit, don't forget that our congregations will have breakout sessions. So after the summit concludes, you can grab your bento and then head to your respective rooms for your congregational breakout meetings. Those are going to be fun and encouraging as well. Amen. Also, we have extended our School of Empowerment and School of Healing registration. The new deadline is April the 30th, and we just want to encourage everyone to sign up if you can. I know it's a sacrifice and a stretch, but you know, everyone that went last year was so encouraged and blessed by it. People got healed and touched and equipped on how to move in the spirit, and we're excited to now add the School of Healing. So this is open to all our leaders, coaches, Strive Pods, and let's get people in there to be better equipped to make disciples. Amen. Well, this month, this week, we are diving into our discussion on doubt, and you know, the passage that we looked at was a story of doubting Thomas, right? Who, you know, he wasn't there when Jesus appeared the first time, and he famously said, "I won't believe until I see the scars in his hands myself." And he got the name Doubting Thomas. I think it's a little unfair, honestly, because
be careful what you say.
It's true, but I think it's a little unfair because you know Thomas was a faithful disciple, and you can understand his doubts. And you know, one of the things about doubt is all of us are going to experience doubts in our journey of faith. And that's just normal. I remember when I first came to church, I thought, you know, everyone had such strong faith and I was the only one who was struggling. And then you realize, like, no, doubt from time to time is completely normal. There's nothing wrong with you. It's how we respond when we doubt. It's how we walk out the doubts that we have in our faith that makes the difference. Right. And what I love about Thomas is he missed the first appearance, you know, of Jesus. Can you imagine? It's like, you know, I don't know why he wasn't there. And maybe he was stuck in traffic, you know, or you know,
it's like his, missing the party of
his,
the year.
His you kid know? Had like a baseball game. You know, he wasn't at church that day when Jesus showed up. But you know what I love about him? He kept coming back. And it says about a week later, he was with the disciples again, and then Jesus showed up and, you know, basically settled all of his doubts then and there, right? And that's what I love about Thomas. We're all going to experience doubts from time to time, but how we respond. Thomas kept coming back. Mm-hmm. He kept being present at church. He kept being present with the disciples in their small group, quote unquote. And eventually Jesus showed up and encountered him and transformed his life. And so how we respond when we face doubts makes all the difference. Doubt is normal, but how we respond. So how should we, what should we do when doubts arise, or how do we respond when we experience doubt? And there's a few thoughts in the discussion guide that's from our weekend sermon that I'd love us to process together. First of all, is examine your expectations. Man, this is so important. One of the reasons why this is important is because studies show that the reasons why people doubt or have unbelief, one of the main reasons is unmet expectations. When we prayed for something and we didn't get the answer the way that we wanted, or something happened in life that we didn't expect would happen if I walked with God or if I believed in God or if I prayed, right? All of us have had unmet expectations as it pertains to faith. We all have prayers that didn't get answered the way that we wanted. We've all prayed for people to get healed and maybe they didn't get healed. And oftentimes it's those unmet expectations that lead us to doubt. When in reality, if we examine our expectations, often what we find is what we expected isn't exactly what God promised, or what we were hanging our faith on maybe was pseudo-biblical, but it wasn't actually biblical. And maybe our expectations were wrong, which is why we're disappointed in the first place. So we need to examine our expectations and make sure they line up with Scripture. The second thing that we see is we need to position ourselves for an encounter with Jesus. What do we do when we doubt? We got to keep showing up. That's what I love about Thomas. He doubted, but he kept coming back. Mm-hmm. And so he was there. He was at church with the disciples when Jesus showed up that second time and encountered him personally. Position yourself. What do we do when we doubt? A lot of people run away from God. A lot of people run away from faith. A lot of people stop reading their Bible. They stop praying. When in reality, we need to keep being present so that Jesus can encounter us when he's ready to do so. Which leads to the fourth point. What do we do when we doubt? Seek God in his word. Right? Faith comes, Scripture says, by hearing through the word of Christ. And faith comes to us through the word. Faith isn't inherent. We aren't born with it, right? It's something that comes as we are in the word. And so if you're experiencing doubt or someone in your group is experiencing doubt, point them to the word, because Jesus reveals himself as we seek him in the word. And then fourthly, choose to walk in faith even when you don't understand, right? I love what Jesus said to Thomas in that moment. Blessed are you because you've seen me, but more blessed are those that believe without seeing me. That's that walk in faith, even when we don't understand. We choose, right? And Jesus says, more blessed are you. And of course, Hebrews says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Faith, when we don't understand, pleases him. Mm-hmm. And so we want to keep walking in faith, even when we don't, excuse me, understand. So there's a lot here, and there's a lot that was said in our weekend sermons. And so I want to encourage you leaders to go back and listen and come with some things that you can share, reflect on, and encourage the group with. Well, as you reflect on the main thought passages in the weekend sermon, what is the Lord highlighting to you and why? Pastor Jen, any thoughts there to lead us out?
Yeah, you know, I really love this first point, examine your expectations. You know, I think in my mind, it's also examine your plan because it's probably not God's plan. I love to make plans and I love to kind of like get all the details all planned out with timelines and all that kind of thing. But sometimes, you know, you can make a great plan, but God has other plans that he wants to insert in the middle of your plan. And I know for Mike and I, one of the things that where we experienced that is when we were building our house. And so, you know, Mike was building it from the ground up, and we had it was the same year that we had the 40 days of rain. So there was something that happened that wasn't a part of our plan, and we had to re-examine our expectations, our plan. And you know, God brought the rain, so we also had to go back to God and say, hey God, you also told us to build this house at this time, so you must be doing something, right? Because we had to get on the phone with our loan officers and explain. So we're in Hawaii and it's raining for 40 days, and they kind of laughed at first because, you know, how often does it rain for 40 days in Hawaii? But it was really us going back to God and saying, God, okay, you put us in this place where you told us to build the house. We made a plan. We're going to come back to you. We're coming back to you to see what this new plan is going to be, and trusting that it wasn't a halt in the building of the house. It was just a pause, and God had better things planned, you know, along the way. There was a pause for a reason. And so, we learned through that example how to trust God even when our plans don't work out.
I love what you said, because sometimes our expectation is God, you know, is going to bless all my plans, right? If I'm a Christian and I'm walking with him, then he's going to...
my plan is really good.
My plan's good. Yeah. We prayed about it. Now, God, you're obligated to bless my plan, right? And we would never say that, but in the back of our minds, that's what we think. And so when things go awry, we go, wait, what happened? I expected you to bless my plan, but God is God, and he has plans that are higher, right? As I say, my thoughts are not your thoughts, well, neither are my ways, you know, your ways. My thoughts are higher than yours, right? And so... we should expect that our plans won't always work out, but God's got a higher plan. I love that. That's what, you know, that's one of the biggest takeaways for me, is I realize that when I doubt, my expectations often are wrong. You know, I know a lot of us think this way, that like if God is real and if he's for me, then I'm going to have an easy life. You know, life is just going to be easy.
Well, and then it's going to go the way I want it to, right? That's kind of what you think.
Right? And that's what we all want, right? We want an easy, stress-free, you know, life that's blessed, you know. But is that really the expectation that Scripture gives us? I mean, Jesus said, I shared it in my message, in this life, you're going to face trials of many kinds. That sure doesn't sound like an easy, stress-free life. It sure sounds like a life full of ups and downs and bumps and bruises along the way. And if our expectation is for God to meet our plans or to give us an easy life, take away all our problems, then you are going to be disappointed. And you are going to have doubts, but your doubts, as mine were, are based on false expectations. When you understand the Bible, and this is what one of the things that I shared, and a big revelation for me is, when you read the Bible, you realize he's going to allow weight to get put on you. He's going to allow pressure to come into your life. He's going to allow hardship, but not to crush you, to make you stronger.
Right.
He allows hard things so that we grow in the process and become the kind of men and women, as Jesus said, that can overcome the world. Right. And I think back to the garden, God put Adam and Eve there to overcome. Right, to conquer, to rule. That's all military terms of fighting. And that was the plan from the very beginning. And that's still the plan today. God wants us to be overcomers, but if we just want the easy life, then we're all gonna be weak and fragile and frail. And so he allows hardship at times to strengthen us. Therefore we should expect challenges, knowing that God's strengthening us in the process. So that to me is also one of the big takeaways as I think about this message. So what are those expectations that we may have, or that people in our groups might have, that are not right expectations that could be leading to doubt? Share a time is the next question. When you doubted your faith or had questions for God, How did you navigate that experience? That's such a great question. And it allows people the freedom to admit their doubts, mm-hmm. right? And to talk about them outwardly. So Pastor Jen, what are your thoughts about that?
Well, you know, I talk to a lot of parents every week, and a lot of times parents think, oh, okay, we're going to become Christians. I'm going to bring my kids to kids church. They're going to be in the youth program, and then they're going to be perfect. Mm-hmm. And really, just like you were saying, Pastor Billy, the promise of a relationship with Jesus Christ is not that we get off the roller coaster of life, but the roller coaster of life will still happen. We still have our ups, our downs, our challenges, but we don't have to do it alone. We have this relationship with Jesus and this faith in God that He's with us and He never will leave us. And so even as we raise our kids, sometimes we have to, we will experience doubts. You know, when they choose faith or choose maybe not faith for a moment, they have a question about faith, those aren't bad things. That just means that they have to discover who God is in the moment. And as parents, we get to have our dependency on God, because if God did it for us as parents, we have faith. There was some challenge or trial or tribulation that got us there usually, or some struggle or something in our head that we had to figure out and in our heart that we had to figure out. We have to let our kids do the same thing. And that requires a whole new level of faith in parents, because that's not easy to watch your kids discover their faith. That sounds nice, but it actually is quite a challenge to watch them walk through faith and discover who God is.
And you've done that with all of your kids, and you're seeing them grow now as adults and lead their own families. And so that's such a great encouragement, because, you know, yeah, that's true. So maybe that's an expectation. My kids are always going to love Jesus from the time they come out of the womb, and they're never going to have ups and downs in their faith. But the reality is they are. They're going to wrestle, but stay consistent, and eventually, God will lead them back to Himself. Yeah. That's so great. Thank you for sharing that. You know, let's move on to the third question here. Is there an area of your life where you are struggling with doubt right now? How can you push through that? And how can the small group help you? I want to add to this, how can you apply this discussion to that situation? But really into good. A current area of doubt, right? That's how can you apply that? I think for me, it's not so much struggling with doubt. I'll think about a previous situation. How about that? And apply it to this one. Whenever I face a hardship, I think back to when my son Micah was going through his health thing for about 3 years. I did have doubts. You know, I never doubted God's realness or His love, but I doubted everything I believed about God in that moment, because you're like, man, why are we going through this? This seems unfair. I thought I did everything right. And that's where I came to the conclusion, or I began to see in Scripture, that no, He allows challenges at times because He's trying to strengthen us. Mm-hmm. And I think back to the story of Job, and I read Job a lot during that season because I felt like Job. But you know, if you remember the story of Job, in the beginning he was super blessed and he lost everything through a series of calamities. But one of the things he said at the very end, because God restored him, blessed him, and all that, was he said, "Before I had suffered, I had heard about you, God, but now my eyes have seen you." Mm-hmm. Something about that in the middle of my challenge was so revelatory, in that Job heard about God before his suffering, but as he walked through suffering, now he knows God personally. And I was just like, wow, okay, God. I remember thinking that when I was going through that season. All right, God, if what you're allowing this for is to strengthen my faith, as I said earlier, and for me to have a deeper relationship with you through this, all right, I'm all in. You know, whatever I got to do, I'm going to do it. And I kept going to church, right? I kept positioning myself for an encounter with Jesus, kept seeking God in the Word, and I kept choosing to walk in faith, and eventually it made sense. And I do feel like Job now in the second half and the end, I understand, I feel like I know God so much better now having gone through that, right? Mm-hmm. And so I don't really have a season of doubt right now in my life, but that's what I think about whenever there is a challenge. God's allowed it for a reason. Mm-hmm. He's going to shape me through it. I'm going to keep persevering. Therefore, I don't struggle with doubt like I did, you know, back in the day. I don't know. What do you think, Pastor Jen?
You know, with this question, this is a really good area, a type of question for a small group leader to prepare for, whether you're going to share a season where you used to have doubt or you have doubt now. Sometimes this question can turn into a little bit of a therapy session or advice session with your small group. And so you want to be careful that as somebody shares, that we're not spending too much time giving advice or doing therapy with somebody. But really, the point of this question is to point them back to Jesus.
Yeah.
And so in the situation, in the doubt, in the fear, whatever they're dealing with, agree and affirm and hear them. And then sometimes just even stopping in the middle saying, can we pray about that right now? Or can we make sure we put that on our prayer list? Or can we next week follow up with you and see what God did? Because it's so easy to, for that moment where everybody will pitch in and be like, oh, you should do this, you should do that. Or like, this is what I did. Yeah. And we kind of want to be careful because it'll extend the group time sometimes and it'll stop other people from talking.
I mean, and it just comes off insensitive. Like you all know, like when you're going through a hard time, people start giving you advice. Like
that's the last thing you want to hear.
Right? Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to hear advice
right now. The best thing we can do in small group is pray.
Amen.
Pray
to
for
that.
People and point them to Jesus.
Amen to that. Yeah. So no, thank you for sharing that, Pastor Jen, because that's true. You know, I really try to avoid advice giving, even though I think I give good advice. I try to avoid that because I want you to share, feel safe to share, and just through the through people talking. That's what we teach in our relational discipleship stuff. As people are processing, the truth begins to become apparent. It starts to bubble to the surface. Right. And then when we say, how do you think you can apply the word to this or this discussion to it? Oftentimes we know the answer. We just struggle to actually apply it or believe it. And so let them affirm that, right? That's just a good tip for small groups in general. Don't let it descend into advice giving, right? It's sharing, processing, and then I love what you said, pointing them to prayer. So leaders, you know, there's a lot we could talk, we could spend all day talking about this. Doubt is a big deal in all of our lives, but I want to encourage us to think through areas in your life where you experienced doubt and how you overcame that. Become ready to share. And let people share honestly. Don't be careful not to shut people down when they share something. Well, that's not right. You know, you shouldn't doubt that. Like it's a, we all do. Let them be honest to process, and then we can lovingly guide them to the truth. And I think asking them, how do you think God wants you to respond to that? How do you think God wants you to apply that? And let's pray for you in that, and let the Holy Spirit bubble that up. Amen. And continue to create a safe space for people to share what God is doing in their lives and how they're struggling. Amen. Well, leaders, thank you so much for all that you do. And how you care for your people and lead your groups week in and week out. We just want to sincerely thank you. You are making a difference in people's lives. You are creating a space for them to experience Jesus through all of you. So thank you for that. And let's continue to lean in, continue to love our people, continue to include others. And I know that when Jesus shows up, all of our doubts will go away. And let's keep people close so that they can experience Jesus just as Thomas did. And he got a new level of faith injected into his life. So thank you. We love you. Have a great small group, and we'll see you in church and back in small group again. God bless you. Thank you.